Facebook, Google, all of these companies are trying to figure out where are the rules and where are they going to draw the line.
There's clearly a demand for renters. They've got most of them full.
If you own a bond in your retirement portfolio, the price of that is going to go down.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Hey, welcome to Thursday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Happy that you're listening on this wintry, although a little bit more mild today than it's been, but it's been a cold November so far, not like they're experiencing in Northern California. On a phone line now is Ian Schur, a senior editor at CNET.com. I guess I shouldn't make jokes about weather conditions with Northern California because I'll take ours. Ian, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Yeah. Thank you. The weather, fortunately... fortunately, the weather's gotten a lot better. So the fires are finally gone, but we had rain. We are so much happier now than we were a couple of weeks ago. I learned what the AQI is, and I downloaded an app, and I checked it every day. Now I don't have to think about it again. Things are far better.
Well, I'm happy about that, and I hope that the rain comes and helps, but not so much that it causes more problems in the future. Let's talk. You and I have talked a lot about these scooters, and I love the idea. You know, my son goes to school in Oxford, Ohio, where they have scooters. I don't remember what company it is, but my daughter lives in L.A., where they've got scooters everywhere. And Chicago's been pretty deliberate about how to bring them here. I would imagine it's inevitable that they will be here. But you guys did a story, sort of an in-depth look at all of the people, I'm laughing again inappropriately, but all of the people who've been hurt on these scooters. So tell me a little bit about that. But, I mean, I just wonder if that is something that should surprise us. If you're on a Divvy bike and you ride it badly, you could get hurt. If you're on an electric scooter and you ride it badly, you're going to get hurt.
Right. And I think what's different here is partially that these electric scooters can go pretty fast without you having to be very good at using them, right? Like they're a motor attached to it.
Sure.
And they have small wheels, which means that when they hit a bump, you're much more likely to go down than if you're in a bicycle. And as a result, we're seeing really bad, I mean, accident rates that we tracked at CNET, we did this big investigation, are as high as 1,000 per month. And we're talking about people who are having life-altering injuries. They are having not just road rash, but some of them are still in physical therapy. They're really, like, this is bad stuff that's happening. Head traumas, deaths, it's really tough.
But wait, now, that's not happening thousands of times a month, right? People are being injured thousands of times, and among those, some are very serious injuries.
Exactly, okay. Right. And so in San Francisco, for example, the General Hospital Trauma Center here, which is a level one trauma center, so it gets all of the major ones, is logging about 10 major injuries a week, right? And so, and that includes stuff like road rash and severe head trauma. And so what's going on here, right, and part of why we even talk about this, because, look, people get injured all over the place. 40,000 people a year die on the roads in cars, is that these companies are putting these scooters out there, and a lot of people, I don't know if you've been watching the scooter users where you are, but here in San Francisco, a lot of them are not wearing helmets. In fact, one of the companies, Birds, the startup, actually lobbied and successfully won in California state legislature to remove helmet laws for these things. And, one of the doctors told us that if you go down and you hit your head on one of these scooters, you might as well be having someone hit you with a bat, right? Wow. Like, it's really bad.
Okay.
And so the problem here is that these companies don't appear to be trying very hard to make sure that the users are safe. And overwhelmingly, people are fine. But the people who do get hurt, it's really bad.
Well, I suppose that is a good argument for cities like Chicago to take it slow and let the other cities sort of experiment and work the kinks out before they come here. I was on a shopping frenzy throughout the weekend, Ian, because that's just what I do. And I know a couple of years ago, there was a law, right, that passed that kept these bots from buying up concert tickets because computerized bots, they'd buy up all the concert tickets, and then you couldn't buy them at face value. You'd have to buy from the people who had the bots, sold them to scalpers, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there's a law to stop that for concert tickets, but now it's happening with toys?
Yeah, and I mean, this is just an ongoing problem. So the lawmakers in Capitol Hill always coming up with new ways to identify things, label these things Grinch bots, right?
Because
they're stealing your Christmas. And what they are, these are little computer programs that people set off on the internet. They know what the top toys are going to be, or they're betting, right? Like last year was Hatchimals, right?
Right.
And what they'll do is that they will go and look for whenever they show up online and buy as many of them as possible. And they'll get them in their carts and bought usually before you as a normal person can click the button and get it bought. So they're beating you on all of this. And then, of course, they're making money off the difference because they'll put it on eBay for $20, $30 more. Suddenly, you're out of luck.
I read in the piece, too, that one of the areas that they're really excelling at is rare sneakers or collectible sneakers.
Yes. Yes. These sneaker, and this is a whole nother like world that, you know, if you don't know about it, it's rather amazing. We have a great story on CNET about these sneakerheads and or what they're called and the bots that are ruining their lives. But there is a whole underbelly of the internet about trading and buying sneakers. And yes, these applications are being used by a lot of people to basically get these rare sneakers and then try and make money off all the people who are involved.
Ian, I have a family friend, a friend of my son's who sort of hung out in the basement and would buy and sell sneakers. And that's what he did through his grade school and high school years. Pretty innovative, if you think of it. Okay, so is this the year that purchasing on your phone surpassed your laptop? I guess not, but it was a big corner.
Not yet.
I was at the mall with my wife and daughter, tried on these pants. They didn't have the right size. Then they went shopping for something, and I just hung out in the parking lot and bought the pants from my phone, you know, and they'll probably be in the mailbox today. A lot more of us are buying by our phones this week, this year.
Yeah, actually, you did better than me. I did it most of my shopping in my PJs on my couch.
Nice.
And I think that's this is just a logical thing that's happening, but, you know, it's worth noting 47% of the traffic for online stores and 36% of sales came from mobile phones. And this is, you know, it's interesting because people are getting a lot more comfortable with using them. If you go to someone like my father, for example, who was born, he's not even a baby boomer, he was born before that. He wants someone's throat to choke, right? He wants to buy from a real person in case things go bad.
Right, right.
But you know, and when I was first starting to shop online, surprisingly, even though I'm a tech nerd, I was a little bit of a Luddite about this. I said, well, I'll look at it on my phone, but I'm still going to buy it on my computer. I don't trust the web, the apps to do it right. And in the last 2 years, people have just really kind of gotten into it, including myself, have really gotten comfortable with it. And the stores, Target, Walmart, all these people have gotten really hip to using apps a lot more instead of what they were used to do, which was that they were fighting all this stuff. They're now coming up with ways, for example, with Target, you can actually get couponing and it'll organize you through the store. Walmart's experimenting with you actually being able to pay and check out on your phone, which I think is super cool. And there's just a lot of stuff that's kind of going forward that they're getting a lot more comfortable using phones. And that's causing us all, of course, to buy more on our phones.
Embrace the future. You can read more at CNET.com. Ian Schur, senior editor there. Great to talk to you again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Bill Geiger is in the studio. Our conversations with Bill are sponsored by Geiger Wealth Management. Welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Good to be here, sir.
You look like you were well fed, had a great Thanksgiving holiday.
No, I'm not sure how to take that.
You're right. Let me tell you something. That's like the third time today on this show already I've said something that I should have said or said it. Didn't.
Well fed.
It's always good in my head, and it doesn't always come out so well.
Okay.
I should say you look happy.
I am.
You have a good holiday?
Excellent holiday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, I've already been looking at my tax liabilities for the year, getting ready, sort of looking over some things. And you and I talk a lot about retirement and about, you know, concerns and what you've got saved. And I would imagine the biggest fear is that people are going to find out it's time and the money's not there.
You know, there was a study recently that 70% of people that are surveyed, their number one fear about retirement is running out of money.
Mm.
And Steve, it doesn't matter how much money they have, because you think about it, whatever your lifestyle is, you don't want that to go backwards in retirement. And that's what people are worried about. They're worried about maintaining a lifestyle, but even more important, actually running out of money before they run out of life.
You see that in your clients, the people who come in?
Yeah. Whether it's the first thing they say or it's later on in the first meeting, it kind of sort of comes out. They're concerned about, is their money going to last?
Right. I mean, it's the thing we go round and round about. I mean, you might know when it's time because of your age to retire, but it's harder to know when it's time because of your wealth to retire.
Yeah. Let me tell you who doesn't worry so much about this. People with pensions. Because they know how they're going to pay their bills. They know how they're going to maintain their lifestyle. And they know how they're going to have dependable, sustainable income. And the key to getting over this fear is, as part of your retirement plan, you need to have a retirement income plan.
So, and you talk about that, and so you mentioned pensions. In a way, you're almost creating your own pension.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Explain that for me.
You can take part of your portfolio, Steve, and you can create dependable, sustainable income with that. And it's like having a private pension plan. And if you think, if you could have an extra $4,000, $5,000, or $6,000 a month in retirement that you can count on, you can sleep pretty well.
Right.
You can enjoy your retirement.
So you set up the vehicles that way so that, you know, that it goes in and you're just getting a monthly check?
Yeah,
how does that work?
You get a monthly check, just like Social Security comes in every month. You set up your retirement income plan so that that's what happens also. And the sooner you get started on this, the more powerful you can make that.
Well, explain that for me then, because I would think that the longer you wait, the bigger the monthly check is going to be.
Once you set up your plan.
Okay.
Once you set up your plan.
So explain that.
If your plan's set up 5 years ahead of your retirement, it's going to be really strong. If it's set up 6 or 7 years before your retirement, it's going to be that much stronger because the money on the income side of your portfolio is working for a longer time and can produce more income. You know, here's the thing, Steve. People believe they have a retirement plan. But if you don't have a plan for how you're going to get your income, you don't have a retirement plan.
It's like and I've done this where I think my retirement plan is saving a lot of money for retirement.
Yeah.
It's not what to do once I've accumulated that money.
That's the accumulation stage.
Right.
But there's a time you got to transition, and it's before retirement, and you need to transition and make sure you keep what you've saved, and you need to take part of that and begin creating that income that you're going to need.
And what are we looking at? How old should you be when you start to do this?
5 to 10 years from retirement is absolutely ideal. It's ideal because you have time to set this up. You have time to make it strong. And Steve, I know you're going to talk about this in a moment because we oftentimes offer people a complimentary retirement plan. We're going to include a retirement income plan.
I like that.
In every one of those retirement plans that we're going to offer today. So for the next 5 callers who have at least $500,000, we're going to do it on a complimentary basis.
Bill Geiger, thanks for coming by. You look a little underfed. I'm worried about you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much, Eric Rung. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Cook County Clerk David Orr is in the studio. And as a guy who's been reporting in the city for over 30 years, I probably have talked to David Orr more than any other politician just because of our longevity. But David's always was great with election numbers or whether it was the first marriage in the county or all of that. And he decided not to run for re-election. He's been in elective office since 1979, and that ends tomorrow. David Orr, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. My pleasure.
How does it feel?
It'll feel better after the hassle of trying to get out of there and throw away stuff from 40 years.
Yeah. You didn't purge along the way?
Not enough.
And no, I forgot, before we do too much reminiscing, I want to ask you about what's going on at City Hall today. You're on the county side, but obviously all eyes are on Alderman Burke's office. So what do you make of what's going on there?
Well, I'm tempted to say it's about time, but I don't want to assume any guilt this early. It's just, again, there's so many things over the years, and without blaming anyone, part of my challenge all along is machine politics that basically helps the few and hurts the many. I don't know how that is. I know one of the big controversies historically has been workman's comp, and they wouldn't even let the inspector general look at how Burke runs workman's comp.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what it's about. So everybody deserves their day in court. There may be no court here, just looking for records.
Right, right. They're looking. It's an investigation, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, David, you were an alderman when I first started reporting in the city, and you and I went through a shared experience, although we were in very different positions. But I was a young reporter. The day Harold Washington died, we were over Tribune Tower. I jumped in a car like a movie, you know, City Hall as fast as you can. And I was there when Alton Miller was hanging out of the back of the ambulance. And they took Harold Washington to Northwestern, where he was pronounced dead. You became the mayor for 7 days at those times. Tell me about that.
Well, I was probably there after you because I was up in the ward. We didn't have cell phones then, and I was trying to deal with a bad liquor store.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I came back to the office, they all kind of screamed at me because they were trying to reach me. They said, go home, put on some decent clothes, and get downtown as fast as you can. The mayor's had a stroke. So I got downtown, and obviously my biggest concern was Harold, but in that amazing political town that we are, even before he passed away, there was a lot of discussion about who's going to take his place.
And, right, right.
Aldermen were meeting and so forth.
You were the vice mayor, Mayor Pro Tem? What was the title?
Vice mayor.
Vice mayor. Okay, and so because then upon Harold Washington's death, you became mayor. You know, and thinking back on it, you know, it was formative week for me, I would imagine. It certainly was for you as well. But I think we lose track of just how emotional it was because here was this populace who had someone, you know, after so long they had someone, and then in an instant he was gone.
Absolutely, extraordinarily emotional. And to make it worse, because he was a hero, of course, in the black community particularly, and others as well, but given the state of racism in our country and city, lots of people were suspicious. They thought maybe he'd been poisoned or someone did away with them. Just very suspicious of what's going to happen.
Right.
The most emotional thing for me is I think back on it, you know, his body lay in state. And then because there's so many people, thousands on the sidewalks waiting to go pass by the body, we had security put little chalk marks. And that went to several blocks. And I remember walking out there, I swear it must have been 2.5 weeks, and watching as that chalk disappeared.
Faded away.
Yeah, just was very sad. And not just because he was a great man, but unfortunately, we believe that would significantly reduce the possibility of a progressive coalition.
Right. I mean, it was a real moment, and then there was a concern the moment. And the moment did go away, didn't it, in many ways?
To a great extent. I mean, there's been a lot of rebounds. There's been good, you know, you have the spectrum. You go good and bad. A lot of good stuff. More recently, I think there's a great comeback, what I'd call a kind of progressive politics.
Guys like Will Guzzardi and others?
Just look at things like this. Even though the word progressive means different thing, different people, all the candidates on the Democratic side ran for governor, including J.B. Pritzker, they all talk progressive.
Right.
Every candidate running for mayor right now, all 21 of them, all say they're progressives. Now, they may not be, and they may have different views, but that's a sign, I think, that the views, this idea of what government should stand for, is more greatly accepted now than the old machine notion.
I can't imagine how different it is to run for re-election in 2018 than it would have been running for election in 1979. How has it changed?
Well, it mostly just the money. It's in some ways it's not that different except for the money.
Really?
We've had dirty politics and all that. That was more through flyers that would come out the day before the election. I know I saw these flyers that I was the biggest slumlord in the neighborhood that came out 2 days before the election. It's interesting because I didn't have any property. But so there's still the rough and tumble stuff. The good news now, the bad news, of course, is the cost. The good news is particularly with the mayor stepping down and kind of a nobody knows where this mayoral race is going to go, is that there's a lot of great candidates. I really think that's the most exciting thing about the future is we might actually have a city council that steps up.
Are you going to stay involved?
Oh, absolutely. I don't plan to work as hard, I hope.
No.
But I've formed a political campaign committee called Good Government Illinois, and I want to help elect good candidates like we did with Fritz Kagi.
Well, it has been a pleasure working with you in the way that I have for these decades, really. And I just wanted to, I'm glad that you could come in because I wanted to wish you well and have you great success.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Stephen. Keep up all your good work. It's important.
David Orr. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Have you noticed a few more storefronts go empty on your way to work this week? Chances are, those were Mattress Firms, because someone finally decided that having more than 50 Mattress Firm locations in the state of Illinois alone was not a good idea. In Texas, where the company is headquartered, they had three locations within a half mile of each other. But there is currently a lawsuit looking into two executives who received incentives and kickbacks for opening up all of these locations. That would make sense, because who on earth would open up multiple locations within a half mile of each other? Starbucks? Shh. But I digress. In the spirit of the holiday season, philanthropy is at the top of people's minds. And that's true as the private equity firm founder of Frontenac, Martin Koldyke, stuck with his holiday tradition. He bought out the entire Albert Theater for a showing of The Christmas Carol and had fifth graders fill the audience. It's a tradition he's done for years, and he's estimated to have spent roughly $400,000 keeping the tradition alive.
Aww.
So cute.
It warms my heart.
I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. All right, so this morning, we're at 303 East Wecker now, the new studios, and sort of at the end of the Pedway. I like to take a little Pedway walk every morning, and this morning I found myself in front of a Starbucks, and I thought, we're going to talk Starbucks today. I'll try the new... I've already forgotten the name of it. It's the Juniper Latte. And just to sort of prepare myself, now on a phone line is Chuck Hanna, Vice President of National Sales at Constellation. Chuck, have you had a Juniper Latte yet?
I have not, Steve, but I did have my Starbucks this morning, which I was very excited about and got my day off to a great start.
Well, listen,
thanks for having me this afternoon.
Absolutely. I tried the Juniper, so you don't have to. I think you can make it through the holidays without it. But we're talking, obviously Constellation is not Starbucks. Constellation is energy related to Exelon. Why is it that you are on the phone with me now talking about Starbucks?
Sure. So we announced yesterday that we've done a deal with Starbucks to meet their sustainability goals. And by way of background, Starbucks has set an admirable goal of greening their operations. So for the 340 company-owned stores here in Illinois, we work with them to get their power from an L Green Power's wind project called Hilltopper, which is under construction right here in Illinois on the same power grid where the stores are operated, to supply them with 100% renewable power for all their stores.
So when the next time or in the future when I get a cup of coffee, it will have been heated by wind power.
That's exactly right. The deal in terms of the renewal will begin the end of next year. So starting from that point forward, you'll have 100% renewable sourced power for your Starbucks coffee in the Chicagoland area.
Is Starbucks unusual when it comes to that in Illinois, or are there other companies that do it as well?
We continue to see this as a growing emerging trend for large corporates like Starbucks who are looking to meet their sustainability goals through various renewable alternatives. What we've been able to work out with a combination of Enel and Starbucks is a much more simplified process and product offering versus typically what's been a very complicated purchasing process for our customers.
Well, it seems difficult for me, Chuck, to sort of comprehend myself, because so the Enel, they're building this wind farm in Logan County, which is Lincoln, Illinois, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so when I'm walking down the Pedway and I go by a Starbucks and it's next door to a Subway, how is it that the Starbucks power comes from Lincoln in Logan County, but the Subway power does not?
Sure. So Constellation is working with Enel to purchase the output of the renewable facility. And then what we do is we manage all of their various aspects of the delivery through the grid to deliver that into the Starbucks stores across all of Illinois. So there's about 340 stores, as I mentioned, that will be serving under this arrangement. About 70% of those are in the Chicagoland area, including the upcoming Chicago Roastery, which will open early 2019, right there in downtown Chicago.
So the power isn't separate, but they're agreeing to pay you, and you're buying the power from the wind farm, and that's how the exchange works?
That's correct. And what's unique about this deal, and which is a high priority for Starbucks, is that they've been able to get into this deal on a very early basis, which enabled them to contribute to the development of the new wind facility, which is really important for them, and also helps in terms of the development of renewables into the market.
Now, so Enel is separate from Constellation, so I'm not sure that you're equipped to speak to this, Chuck, but I'm going to give it a shot. How does Illinois do when it comes to producing or to, I guess, say, harnessing wind power? It seems to me like I'm seeing more and more turbines around.
Yes, I would say that Illinois in general is leading edge in terms of various types of emission-free and renewable energy, both from some of the sources such as what Enel Green Power's wind facility Hilltopper will produce as far as wind. In addition to that, Exelon Generation, which is the nation's leading nuclear generator, is a large generator of emission-free energy through the Chicago area, through our large nuclear portfolio there as well.
All right, so next time, and next year when you want your Starbucks, you can do it knowing that it was powered by wind and not coal, nuclear, or anything like that. Chuck Hanna on a phone line, Vice President of National Sales at Constellation. Chuck, thank you for explaining all that for me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.